Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. So we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're continuing to talk about forgiveness. It's such an important subject, and we love to talk about forgiveness, the forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus because of the shed blood of Christ that he offered 2,000 years ago. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. As our friend Andrew Farley likes to say, God deals on a blood in a blood economy. Mm-hmm. We can beg and plead and ask and all of those things, but if there's no blood, then there's no forgiveness. And that's what Jesus did. He willfully shed his blood so that we could experience forgiveness. And when we receive Christ, we receive forgiveness of sins, not just for sins that we've committed in the past, but forgiveness for all sin, for all time, past, present, and future. Well, that raises questions, doesn't it?
Yes.
And time and time again, we hear this. So what are you saying? Since I'm totally forgiven, I can just go out and do whatever I want to do? That's not the gospel. No, we're not saying that. And, you know, the response to that, if you want to get sarcastic and those sort of things, why would you want to? I mean, Why would you want to go back and do those things that brought you to a place of misery in your life? Why would you want to go back and do those things? It doesn't make sense. And really, that's how the Apostle Paul addressed it in his passage to the Romans chapter 6. Well, then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Same question. And what does Paul say to that? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it any longer? So the forgiveness of God doesn't lead to reckless living. It's the very thing that changes our heart and mind toward God in such a way that we want to rely upon him, depend upon him, abide in his resurrected life to lead us and guide us down the paths of righteousness. Forgiveness doesn't lead to a license to sin. Forgiveness leads to a life of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the reason it does is because we've been changed from the inside out. This gospel message, forgiveness is just part of the package. We receive life, and in that life is forgiveness, and that life is alive inside of us and is moving us in the right path. So, no, total forgiveness of sins doesn't lead to a license to sin. Grace always produces the desired result inside of us. If we can just trust God's grace, everything's going to be A-okay. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. We invite you to join us. If you have ever asked that question, maybe you're confused about it today. So are you saying we can just go out and do whatever we want to do? Let's talk about it on today's broadcast. We would love to hear from you right now.
Matter of fact, you don't have to go out. You can stay in and do all those things.
Yes, you can.
1-800-677-9. I caught you by surprise.
Yes, you did.
1-800-677-9377. A toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. Want to hear from you on this edition. As I said at the outset of the broadcast, we are here live so that you can participate in the broadcast and pose your question or your particular need. So give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. In the meantime, from Jeremy, who lives in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, with regard to Hebrews 6, 4, and 5, his question, does it describe a saved or unsaved person? He says, I see it uses terms for the people such as those and them, but when he talks about the believer in verse 9, he uses we. Some people imply that because of verse 4, it says they were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, that they were spirit-filled. Which is it? These people come to the very edge of faith and turn back? Or is the verse saying that the believer cannot fall because he cannot get resaved?
Well, it's not a passage that teaches loss of salvation, that we can lose salvation. This is one of those verses that a lot of people point to and say, see, the Bible does teach that you can lose salvation. But that's not what it's talking about at all. I think we have to take a step back and recognize the audience. So the writer of Hebrews was writing to Hebrews. And so folks steeped in Judaism, folks who believe that the way of forgiveness was through the shed blood of bulls and goats offered one day a year at the Day of Atonement by the high priest. They were fully in Judaism mode. And now Jesus showed up and said, wait a minute, that my sacrifice, my life that I offered up, that's the only sacrifice that God accepts. And if you're truly going to be forgiven, if you're truly going to be able to draw near to God, if you're truly going to be able to live out God's will and desire in your life, the only way to do that is through Jesus. It is by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. Period. End of story. Well, they were having a really hard time with that. If that's the case, well, what do we do with our Judaism? What do we do with our sacrificial system? What do we do with the temple? What do we do with all of this that has defined us and has made us the very people that we are? And that's why the writer of Hebrews says, well, all that was just merely shadows. Those weren't the realities. And he had been kind of clear on that throughout the Old Testament, throughout their history. It was always pointing forward to the coming of the Messiah. He had given them clues as to who this Messiah was going to be and what he was going to accomplish on their behalf. And so everything that they had in the law was merely a shadow of what they were truly going to experience in Christ. And now that Christ was on the scene, a lot of these Hebrews were struggling. What do I do? Do I let go of the old to grab hold of the new? And that was the encouragement of the writer of Hebrews. That entire book is basically saying that. Set aside the old so that you could grab a hold of the new. The old was glorious, but not in comparison to the new. The old had some wonderful promises, but they were not better than what's in the new. Everything that you see in the new is far superior to the old. And so they were struggling. And so many were brought to the point of repentance. They had seen the goodness. They had seen the work of God's Spirit in the lives of others, and yet they chose to shrink back. It was a conscious decision on their part to say no to Jesus and continued in their Judaism. And so they would have been those folks that were there when Pontius Pilate brought Jesus out. They would have been those folks that said, crucify, crucify, crucify. And so they were still crucifying Jesus in their minds, saying, no, he's not the way. It's what God gave us through Moses. We're sticking with that. We're rooted in that. And that's going to be what we rely upon. If we're going to be saved, if we're going to be the people of God, it's going to be through this sacrificial system. With that mindset, it's impossible to renew them to repentance.
Yes.
And so that's what the writer of Hebrews was getting at. And there's a lot of folks that this applies to today. Many of us grew up in religious traditions. And so we're resting on those religious traditions. And the New Testament is saying, no, you have to let go of those religious traditions to grab hold of Christ. And a lot of folks are saying, hold up, Trigger, not me. That's how I was raised. That's how my parents were raised. That's how their parents were raised. That's just the way it is. And so I'm going to stick to my tradition and to heck with Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews would be saying, hey, with that mindset, it's impossible to be renewed under repentance. You've just put your mind in the mud and it's stuck yes. there. And so you're going to have to come to the point and realize that your way isn't the way. And when you realize that, then you're free to respond to Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Jeremy, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, drop us an email with your question or your particular issue. We'd like to discuss it for you in a later edition of Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377. Open lines right now. Plenty of time. We want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Phil. Phil in Bayville, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Phil.
Hello. How are you?
Doing well. How about you today?
Okay.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm alive. Thank God I'm alive and everything's going good. I just got a question. I listen to you all the time. And the question the other day, someone brought up about suicide. And I think I heard if you are, if you are saved or you've accepted Christ, but you go on to commit suicide, are you still going to make it into heaven?
So, Phil, that's your question?
Yeah, my question is yes.
Yeah. Well, I always try to answer that, and we try to answer that here at Basic Gospel with this question. Where is somebody in Christ or somebody outside of Christ? Those who are
in Christ.
Right.
Maybe I got the wrong impression. Go ahead.
Yeah. So those who are born again, they've been born again into the family of God. They've been made new. They have been taken out of darkness, placed into light. They have been taken out of the kingdom of Satan and placed into the kingdom of Jesus. That's where they are. They stand in the grace of God. And once they're there, they can never get outside of the grace of God. They may think they're outside of the grace of God in their minds, but their true spiritual position is in Christ. And that is a forever eternal position. And it's
absolutely, I agree with you.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, now if you're there and you get low in life and you're saved, but you somehow fall short and you commit suicide, which is a choice. I mean, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Phil.
Okay.
Say you have a buddy, Mike. Mike's just the hypothetical guy, okay? You may have a buddy, Mike, but I'm not actually talking about him. I'm talking about this made-up Mike, okay?
Right, I understand. Yep.
Okay, so Mike's a believer. Mike has come to Christ. You know he's come to Christ. You've seen him. You've heard his testimony. And then at a moment of weakness, he and his wife, Judy, are having troubles. They just haven't been getting along. And in a moment of weakness, Mike decides that, Mary at work looks pretty attractive. And they end up having an affair. And right in the middle of this adulterous relationship, Mike dies. What's going to happen to Mike? Is he going to be in the...
If he dies?
Yeah, right
how
in
does he die?
Right in the act. Say he has a heart attack, but he's right in the act of adultery.
And so basically he's committing sin.
And he's choosing to do it.
Right. And he dies committing sin.
Yeah, so what happens to Mike?
I believe he's going to be judged for that.
Okay, was that sin not judged at the cross?
Yeah, of course it was.
Didn't
aren't
he
living?
Didn't he receive forgiveness the moment he received Christ?
Absolutely, but if you are basically, if you, like you said, if you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, how are you going to even try to think about doing things? You know, I understand we all fall short.
Well, Phil, we have. The reason,
can I just say one thing about a scripture? Is there a scripture that says it is better to have known, not have known God than to have known him and to have turned away from the truth?
Well, that's 2 Peter chapter 2 is basically
what does that say
that,
again?
Well, it would have been better to have not known the way of righteousness than to have known it. But he's talking to false prophets. I mean, it's very clear that he's not talking to saved people. He's talking to false prophets who used the gospel message for their own sordid gain.
So if I decide I can't make it anymore, let's just say, I'm getting life is and I want to get out and I commit suicide. Is that okay? Is you saying that it's okay?
Sin is never okay. It's never okay. Sin always have grave consequences. Just like our hypothetical friend Mike, his choice to commit adultery is going to have some incredible consequences, in his Absolutely. Marriage, in his family, and those sort of things. But we have to ask the question, is God's grace bigger? God's grace doesn't make those things okay. God's grace just says it is so much bigger that the salvation that God offers is a forever eternal gift that can never be lost,
Well, failure. So what you're saying is, no matter what I do, I can't get. I'm going to be saved no matter what I do.
Well, because your salvation is based on the work of Jesus, not on you. That's what I'm saying. If you go to heaven, Phil, you're not going to say to Jesus, "Hey, you know, I really did a great job living this Christian life." And
I just thank the Lord every day.
Absolutely. So that's all this conversation is about.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand that, but I'm just trying to boils down to whether it's okay if somebody commits suicide. I don't think it is. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, Phil, never okay. Sin is not okay, but Christ is bigger.
Absolutely.
But Christ is
The world is sin.
Well, Phil, hang
That's
on.
Why it's being done.
Christ is bigger than our sin. God's grace is bigger than our sin. There's no single sin that we can commit that would make us forfeit salvation, where God would come and say, "I gave this to you, but now I'm taking it away."
Well, if I turned around and cut somebody's head off and decided I didn't want to live for God anymore and I denounced Christ, I don't think he's going to, even though I've been saved and I turn around.
Well,
then
Phil,
now
have
I was
you,
never saved
you're,
in the
you're
first
coming
place.
Up with a lot of hypothetical stuff. Are you doing that? Or are you?
No, absolutely not. I'm just saying that it sounds to me like you're saying, even if we commit suicide or kill somebody, in grace, we're going to go to heaven. We're saved under his grace.
Well, grace doesn't lead us to do that, Phil. Let me make a distinction.
Right.
Grace does not lead us to do any of those things. And the grace of God, because we have the grace of God, because we stand in the grace of God, that doesn't lead us down those wrong paths either. The reason choose to sin is because sin lives in this flesh of ours. We live in a world controlled by the prince of darkness. We're constantly being bombarded with those types of temptations. And sometimes get pulled away from that.
Yeah.
So God's grace does not make that okay. That's why Jesus came, to rescue us from that stff.
From the world of sin, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Phil, we have to trust the grace of God. It doesn't make sense logically. It never will make sense logically.
It does not make sense. Do not let
your logic determine your belief system. If you let human reason and logic determine your belief system, you're going to miss what Christ has for you. So let God's logic, let God's truth, let the Word of God dictate what you believe, no matter how it feels to your human mind. Grace doesn't feel right to our human minds until our minds are renewed and we start thinking grace thoughts. And when we start to think grace thoughts, this whole gospel message starts to fall into place. Well, Phil, thanks for your call. Thanks for the good, lively discussion. We love that.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. Well, let's go to Staten Island and talk with John, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you. How can we help you today?
I was going to just driving in, going to pick my wife up from work, and I happened to be shooting around a dial. And I heard you talking about Hebrews 6, and it just freaked me out because we had a study on that Saturday at my house. And I was going to comment on Hebrews 6, but after hearing that last call, it just threw my whole mind out of whack. Talking about being saved, and, we know that get saved is not a one-time deal. It's a lifelong process. God takes us from the beginning until the end. It's so
dull. The operative word there, John, is God. God initiates right. salvation. He makes us alive together with Christ, and he has promised, and he is faithful to keep his promises, that he will complete the work that he began in us. He has committed himself to conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ, and he's
beautiful.
Going to
that's
complete.
I love that.
He's going to complete that
I
work.
I love that.
Yes.
Yeah, Romans 8:29. A predestination is the only way to heaven, and to be conformed, we're going to be conformed. We're being conformed, and it's through the grace of God. And there's nothing that I can do about it. I can't accept Christ. I never accepted Christ. He accepted me. We can't just say, "Well, I accept Christ. I'm saved. I know I'm saved, and I can do what I want, and I'm going to go to heaven because of the blood of Jesus." No, you can't live that way. You can't go off in your sin and think that you're saved just because of the blood of Christ. Like the last caller, I just can't.
Yeah, it's just a total misunderstanding of salvation. I mean, salvation gets down to what Paul wrote in Colossians: Christ in you, the hope of glory.
We're
not just people who have been given forgiveness certificates. You know, I've prayed a prayer, and so God has issued me a forgiveness certificate that I frame and hang on the wall. No, Christ comes to live inside of us. He takes us from death to life. He brings life to these dead spirits of ours, and then he sends his Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us. So we're one with God in spirit. And so we can trust the Spirit of God's work inside of us. Now, repentance, all of these sort of things, those are responses to God's work of grace in our hearts and lives. We have it all.
We can't repent if God doesn't put that in us. We don't repent.
We have it all backwards.
That also comes from God.
That's right. So
we cannot repent of our own. God has to give us the repentance.
God's grace works inside of us to bring us to that point. If we will just get this right, and this is something that Richard has talked about time and time again, it is always first grace, then faith. God initiates, we respond. He did a series called First Faith, Then Freedom.
Freedom.
Yes. So we have to understand that. God initiates, we respond. If we will get that right, this Christian life will fall into place. We have it so backwards, and that's why grace messes up our thinking, because we think we have to do something first in order to get God to respond to us. I repent, then God gives me grace or forgiveness. That's backwards. That's not biblical thinking. God reaches out to us first in forgiveness and grace. That touches our hearts in such a way that we respond. It either softens us to that point of response, or it hardens people to a response of rejection. But it's always God's grace that is the lead party in the play. Well, this is Basic Gospel, John. We sure appreciate your call today. And man, we've got a couple of others on the line. Hopefully they will call back tomorrow. Yeah. We can get to them. But, boy, this has been fun. I love the lively discussion. And I think it's so important for us to have lively discussions like that because, as I said, this whole gospel message is foreign to us. As the prophet Isaiah said, our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. So we have to recognize that and allow God to change our thinking so it aligns with His.
Yes.
That's what the renewing of the mind is all about.
Just a reminder, friends, that we have produced many valuable resources to assist you in growing in the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of them, of course, Bob Christopher's insightful message, and the love of God. As we've noted many times, we are dependent upon you, our listeners, to keep this broadcast on the air, connecting people with the love of Jesus Christ. And when you make your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you a copy of Bob's CD, In the Love of God. And you can make your gift and request your copy at basicgospel.net or by calling our order line at 1-800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828. We ask your help today by making your most generous contribution. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.